Jack, you've been the leader and some would say the heart and soul of urban agriculture movement for the past 25 years. How did you become involved in urban agriculture and why did it become so important to you?
Well, there were two beginning points. The first was that I was at Harvard University and doing a term paper. My term paper said, keep the housing on the hills and keep the valleys open for agriculture. And it was accepted, but there certainly wasn't any enthusiasm on the part of the faculty.
What did that mean?
Well, that's the way we settled in New England originally, is you always had the farmhouse was on a slope on a hill, and the valley was kept open for agriculture. And in this case, where it was suburbanization, if you just spread it out all over the place, you'd sprawl.
Did your involvement and interest in urban agriculture take off from that point? And what did you do with that paper and that write-up at Harvard?
Oh, the paper didn't go anywhere, except into my files. But the concept stayed with me. So it was included in my dissertation as well.
So, and your dissertation was on urban agriculture?
No.
That concept?
No, it was metropolitan planning of how to plan a metropolitan area. And the way that worked was called hub and spoke. So you keep your urbanization inside of a narrow corridor, and in between the corridors you have agriculture.
And when did urban agriculture become part of your life?
Specifically, I was working with the Ford Foundation in Calcutta, India, and a Peace Corps guy came to me and said that we have these refugees here from what later became Bangladesh. It was then East Pakistan. And he said, can we in some way manipulate so they can raise their own food? I was able to do that with the city government, the state government, and the national government. And we got access to land, and they raised their own food.
Sounds like kind of a daunting process of getting the approvals to do that kind of thing. Were there a lot of barriers and the people didn't understand what urban agriculture meant? It's kind of two different terms meaning very different things.
Yeah, we weren't calling it urban agriculture. We were calling it emergency agriculture.
And was that project successful?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Well, we'd done surveys with these refugees, and we were thinking of bringing in schools. They didn't need any education. They had enough schools inside of their camps. There were school teachers there. They ran schools. They were so community-oriented that the one thing that they had problems with was food.
And by producing the food near where the people lived and doing it in an urban environment where the people were settling, did that solve a lot of problems?
Well, there's two things about that. One is that, yes, you deal with the food problem, so they have healthy food in addition to the rice, which people hand them when you're a refugee. And the other is that they were able to sell some of what they produced on the local market. So they also had an economic return. We found that in several other countries.
Now, what year was this that this was taking place?
1968.
That's a long time back for urban agriculture.
Yeah.
When did you begin to think of this as a more global effort at introducing urban agriculture to a lot of different countries?
Basically, about 1980. I was first published on urban agriculture in 1980, so obviously I was involved in it before that, but not on an urban, on a world scale. On a world scale, I went to the United Nations, about 86, and suggested that we do a world survey of urban agriculture with the intention of the United Nations to bring urban agriculture technology from Latin America to Africa and Asian technology to Latin America so that the best urban agriculture practice would be traded, because that's the kind of thing the United Nations did. Once I got on the road, I discovered I was a reporter. Problem was that urban agriculture wasn't recognized by municipal governments, national governments, United Nations agencies. Nobody recognized it as what it was. So my job was to be a reporter, and that's what I did.
It sounds like you had to be a reporter first and then an educator second to bring out what urban agriculture is and get people to be accepting of it.
Yeah, that was exactly it. At that time, largest library in the world, the Library of Congress, did not include urban agriculture as a heading. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization did not include urban agriculture as a subject. If you wanted to do a paper in college, you couldn't do a paper because there was no such thing. So it was that absent.